You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past, the podcast that focuses on inspiring you to move forward from what's been holding you back in life. Each week, we talk with clinicians, coaches, mental health advocates, and those who've overcome tremendous odds and now use their journey to encourage you throughout yours. I'm Matt Pappas, certified coach and NLP master practitioner, alongside Joanne Suppressi, author, certified coach, and hypnotherapist. In addition to talking with amazing guests on the show, we share practical tips and insightful strategies that empower and encourage you to break free from anxiety, self-doubt, and the negative mindsets that keep you stuck. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Greetings and welcome back, friends. Before we get started on today's episode, we wanted to take just a minute and thank our incredible sponsors. INLPCenter.org offers world-class online neurolinguistic programming and life coach training to people in over 70 countries. I'm honored to be able to receive my certifications from INLP Center and utilize their research and incredible training programs. And to Daily Recovery Support, interactive daily group calls in a safe atmosphere for survivors of complex trauma, equipping you with the skills and information you can use every single day in your healing journey. Learn more about this affordable resource and get signed up at cptsdfoundation.org. We hope you'll consider checking out our sponsors and seeing how you might be able to get involved with their programs and learn more about them. So joining me today is Kelly Gettle. Kelly originally joined the podcast back on episode 80 to share some of her life with autism, CPTSD, DID, and narcolepsy. That chat was during some of the early stages of her healing and therapy work with DID specifically, and now she joins us to not only give an update on how things are going, but also to dive into some specific aspects of DID and how she's learning to interact with her alters. She shares some new realizations of sexual abuse and other memories that have come to light as a result of her continued work with her therapist. We chat about the struggles with trust issues, even in therapy, the challenges with relationships, self-shame, and the importance of educating yourself and taking an active role in your healing. So let's join that chat with Kelly Gettle, starting right now. So hey, Kelly, welcome back to Beyond Your Past. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Matt?
I am doing well. It's so cool to have you back here as a returning guest. You and I keep in contact through email periodically, and the original podcast that you shared gets just really a ton of listens as people learn more about you and the message and everything that you've been going through in your life. And now we're going to kind of take it a step further and see where you're at now and what's going on and some of the new discoveries you've made and some new memories and all that good stuff. But before we do that, take a minute, say hello to everybody, introduce yourself, and then we'll get rolling.
Okay. Hi, I'm Kelly, and I have PTSD and I am autistic. I also have dissociative identity disorder, which is very, very hard to understand for anyone and for me and for anyone who has it. It's just very complicated and confusing. And but I'm a survivor and I am an advocate, and that's pretty much it.
Well, that's a lot, right?
I guess. Yeah, that's pretty much a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. As well, it's good to have you back here. And we, you know, as I said today, we'll talk about some more of your experiences with DID, some of the new memories you've had, and anything else you want to share. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you just kind of share with what's been on your mind recently. And we'll just kind of go from there. So fire away.
Okay. Well, the last time that I was on, I was definitely in like the very beginning stages of accepting the diagnosis of DID and learning about it. I did talk a lot last time about being on the autism spectrum, because I think that that is kind of a unique thing to have, except for, I know the one, I can't remember her name right now, but I really like her, Erica Riva.
That's exactly right. Yes,
I think Erica. She is also on the spectrum, and she has DID, so that's kind of cool that I'm not completely alone in the world. But I think that it's important for people to not only understand people with autism, but also people with autism and DID, because that's like a tornado of a combination, and it it changes like everything. Darn, if I don't think I could be more sensitive if I tried. Because, you know, sensitive because of the trauma, sensitive because of being autistic. It's just a wham bam combination that makes it more challenging to recover, I think, in some ways. But I have been learning a lot about my system, and I have definitely accepted the diagnosis. But at the same time, I did want to talk a little bit about doubting it, because I'm on Reddit and some other different, you know, social media platforms where there are groups. You know, I'm a member of a bunch of different Facebook groups for people with DID. And that's one of the things that I see so often is that, you know, people are commenting on there and saying, you know, I keep doubting it. And like, it really is true. And I know for myself, like, the only reason why I'm not constantly doubting it is because of my husband and his sharing with me of like, hey, you know, every day, or even like within like out and every hour, I'm interacting with a different state. I call them states because I believe in the recent research as far as like structural dissociation. That makes sense to me more than anything else. And that's just my personal, I know everybody has their own opinions on stuff that's not totally concrete, but for me, like, you know, it was easier for me to accept my different parts in that way and realizing, okay, so this is not something I need to be afraid of. And it's actually been really interesting. The first real experience that I had with switching was I read this article. It's actually a great article about dissociative identity disorder. I think it's like, I'll share the link with you so you can, you know, but I was reading it and it was talking about how you need to communicate and try to open up communication with your parts so that they know that like you are aware that they exist and that you're welcoming them. And, you know, this was like the night before my anniversary with my husband, and we were about to, you know, the next day we were going to go take a trip, and I hadn't been in a state of mind that was romantically attracted to him or even aware of any kind of like relationship like that for a while. And it was really difficult and hard on him, because it's like you're married and, you know, in love with someone, and then all of a sudden they don't feel that way at all. They don't treat you that way. I'm sure that would be totally weird. So I kind of like looked in the mirror. I felt stupid doing it, but I was just like, I know you're there. And, you know, I was just kind of pleading with them to reveal themselves if they felt comfortable, and that I want them to be able to enjoy life, and that if any of them wanted to, you know, front, that I was okay with it. And the next morning, like, I woke up and was different. Like, really different. Like, I mean, just totally showering my husband with affection. And we had the best day. We went to these hot springs that I had always wanted him to see. And it was wonderful and romantic. And we just, like, this whole thing that, you know, just realizing all this stuff has been so hard on our marriage. And it was awesome because that state had no trauma, even like my physical body was so much more relaxed. It was awesome. Like, and I was aware, like, the whole time I remember it, which is weird. Because I had read about people losing time and, you know, coming to, and so I thought that was, you know, how it would be if I really had it, but that wasn't my experience. And being able to remember that was awesome. But then after that day, once the day ended, that part of me hasn't really resurfaced but one or two times, and I'm still trying to figure out why. But now I'm in like the nitty gritty of the healing process, you know, and that is hard. Like, part of the reason why I wanted to be on here today is because a lot of people, you know, they've already kind of come out the other side, and they're like living functionally, and they're doing all this great stuff, and that's awesome. And like, it encourages me to hear that stuff. But I also think that it's important for, or at least in my opinion, somebody who's not actually there yet, you know, like I can't function, I can't work, I can't even accomplish anything that I want to do really, because I'm in the, it's like going through hell and coming out the other side. I'm in the hell part, but I'm alive and you know, I'm getting through it. And I just want other people to know that you don't have to have it all together to be an advocate. You don't have to be on the other side, because who knows, you know, this is like a, it can take years. And I just, yeah, I don't know. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And it's hard, but it's good, because I'm starting to connect with my child parts. And that is interesting. And it's actually really cool, I think, because like, so I went to the store to get coffee. I was just supposed to get coffee. And I was there for an hour because one of my child parts was looking at every single coloring book in the whole place. Like, you know, just like, and it was cool though, because, you know, I always told people about, like, before any of this ever happened, I always told people I felt like a kid, you know? And also I didn't really get to experience my childhood like a normal kid would, because of the abuse and many other things that I'm starting to realize. So just being able to let them, have fun is really cool. It's cool that I can do that for them, you know, and I know they're just a part of me, but it's like, I'm doing it for myself. It's like a whole, it's like self-love on like a whole nother level. And it's really cool, because they never got to be able to see out, you know, before, like, and when I say see out, I mean, let's see, how do I explain this? Because of the trauma and because of the fact that I am an adult woman, all of these child parts, especially the ones that hold a lot of trauma, were kind of basically like trapped or shut down or dormant or in a coma, or I don't actually understand it myself, so I can't really give a good explanation, but them being able to interact with the outside world is like a joy, and I can feel that joy. And it's really sweet. It's really cool. I also have been trustworthy enough to have some of them reveal some memories to me that were totally, you know, amnesia'd out. Like I had no memory. I've been trying to heal from something that I don't even know what I'm necessarily trying to heal from. As far as my young childhood, I have lots of memories of my teen years that were absolutely horrific. But, you know, to have like such an advanced form of DID, and there has to be some major trauma in like young childhood. And I'm not 100% sure of all the details or anything, which I may never be. But I know that I was sexually abused in a way that was probably some form of I want to say trafficking, but I'm pretty sure my mother was the one who was doing that. So I don't know if that word really works. But I knew that there was a reason why I really hated pedophiles, or I thought that it was just my moral, you know, opinion, because I'm like a really strong Christian and I really believe in forgiveness. But if somebody talked about something like that, I would just be like, they can burn in hell. I know where that anger comes from now. And I also understand that there's reasons why my mom cut my hair short all the time to make me look like a boy. So that all those pieces are really starting to come together. But the experience of remembering was terrifying. It was absolutely, I mean, I was like shaking and just totally shut down for days. But I knew that it was them, you know, my parts trusting me with those memories because I said I could handle it. You know, I'm like, I can handle it. I want to get better. I want to get better. And like, I knew that that things were going to get hard, but knowing it, and you can never really be prepared to remember something like that. And I think you probably can relate to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, something you said a couple minutes ago when you were talking about being an advocate, when I first started my going through hell, as you mentioned, and believe me, yeah. I told my therapist the same thing. I'm like, this just sucks beyond belief. I hate it. Why are we doing this? I think I called my therapy sessions hell for a while too. So I'm right with you. But when I was deep in that, that's when I started doing a lot of my writing. Well, initially I started writing, you know, just for myself in like a private journal. But then that all led to me writing on my first blog. And when I was writing and sharing stuff, I was like up to here with it of just being, you know, in depth and engrossed in healing and having all the tough memories that you're talking about and oh my God, what does this mean? And why did this happen? And you know, all the stuff that you go through when you start to realize those memories. So yeah, you don't, there's no timetable to consider yourself an advocate. You know, if you're willing to share your experiences and be vulnerable, then, you know, whether you're just beginning, whether you're right in the middle of it, whether you're coming out the other side, it doesn't matter because there's always somebody who is where you are. You don't feel like you have to like heal to a certain amount to be able to share your story because you're going to help people.
And it helps me, you know, it helps me feel like I'm not completely alone because at this point in my life, I'm totally isolated. Like I am such a freaking hermit. It's ridiculous. I mean, if anybody sees me out at the store, it's probably like a once a month, like a chance of that happening because I'm just, you know, it's, I was, before I realized all of this stuff, I was the kind of person that would trust someone completely. And that's another difficulty with living with DID is that, you know, now I realize that that was one of my states. That trust was so trusting, you know, just complete on, you know, think the best of everyone, never doubt anything anyone says, like, which is kind of beautiful in a way because it's innocent. Like people will be like, oh, you're so naive, but I don't know that that's a bad thing. I used to feel shame about that, but now I don't because I'd rather be naive to certain things. I mean, not that I don't want to be an educated person. And there's a part of me that's super educated and I don't even know where it comes from, but, but you know, like, and now I just don't trust anybody. So it's, there's like this inner conflict that's going on, you know, even with my psychologist, I want to say therapist cause everybody says therapist, but I see a psychologist. So I say psychologist, but you know, like I've been seeing him for like 4 years. Or I think 4 years, maybe 3 years. I don't even know, but a long time. And he has definitely earned my trust, you know, but like now I'm having all these, you know, inner conversations while I'm on my way there thinking, oh my gosh, I can't tell him this. You know, I cannot possibly share this with another human. Like I cannot trust him. How can he help me? And then I'm like, I know I can trust him. And so that's kind of, those are the experiences that I've had as far as like, I know that my parts are communicating. Like I don't hear them all the time. Like some people do. There's all different types. Like DID is, it's kind of like autism. If you meet one person with DID, you've met one person with DID because everybody's experience is different and everybody, you know, the brain, how it changes and how it compartmentalizes is so complex and unique in every individual. So, you know, and I've often been jealous of some of the people that I read their posts and stuff, and they're just like totally aware of all their parts, and they can have conversations, and they can have these meetings in this meeting room. And I'm just like, why can't I have that? You know, but I also need to like be okay with however, where I'm at, you know, and not expect that I'm going to have that, because it might be different for me, because I'm, you know, I'm me, I'm not them. I can't compare myself. So that's been kind of a journey that I'm still kind of going on. It's not longing for something that I don't have yet, because I just want it to be over. You know,
Do you know how many times I sat in a therapist's office and said, can we be done now? Like, is this over? Can I be healed? Can I just like not come do this anymore? Because I wanted to get to where I felt confident. I felt whatever I thought was quote unquote normal, which I hate using that word, but like, I told her, I sat there and I'm like, when is this going to be over? Like, when am I going to be healed? And I asked myself some of the same things you did, because you want to be where other people are because you want to experience what they have. But one of the things that you mentioned that was really key is everybody is absolutely 100% different in how they heal, what their timetable is, what they experience. And, you know, it sounds almost cliche to say it, but when you're talking about trauma recovery, I mean, yes, there are certain things you'll probably feel or experience, certain emotions and like, you know, general things that you go through, but the way that you in particular deal with something, heal from something, how long it takes, whatever, all that stuff is all unique to you and your circumstances and how, you know, everything from the helping professional you work with to, you know, your environment, all kinds of factors involved. So,
okay. So I got a funny story related to that. Mm-hmm. So, Before my psychologist didn't really tell me I had DID, like not really, because I think I was just in such a fragile state that I think he was trying to protect me, you know, like she can't handle this. And he was probably right. But I was just so tired of being like totally freaked out and frozen and just feeling like I want to jump out of my skin. And I was just like, okay, can we just do this, like ripping off a Band-Aid? Like, can we just come on, like, just, let's just get it over with. I was like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Cause he was like, I don't think that's a good idea. And I was like, okay, so what's the worst that can happen? And he was like, well, you could go into a dissociative fugue and have no memory of who you are and leave and travel somewhere far away and start a completely new life and we could never find you again. That's what could happen. I was like, oh, that sounds really bad. So then I was like, all right, fine. But yeah, I was like, you know, it already sucks so bad. How could it suck any worse? Let's just get all the sucking over just now. Let's just... You know, but yeah, it's not, doesn't work that way. And if anybody thought they got some kind of like miracle fast healing, then it might not be real. It might just be like a little bit of a break. And that's like, you know, that's what he told me as far as, cause I'm just like, how long is this gonna last? Cause I'm dissociating so much that I can't do anything. And he was just like, it's okay that you're dissociating right now because this is the best time for you to do that. Your brain's processing. Just let it happen. Just, you know, because I was like, I'm like looking at the clock and it's 2:00 in the afternoon and I don't even know what I did all day. I have no idea like what I did today. And he was like, that's okay. So, you know, I used to try to like fight it so hard, you know, like fight the dissociating, because I experience every form of dissociation that there is, like the derealization, depersonalization, all of it. I was reading this book, and it was just, you know, going over all the different forms, and I was like, checking it off in my mind, like, wow, I really got this, you know, because I have a tendency to like shame myself, you know, like, oh, I'm probably just exaggerating, or, you know, maybe it's not as bad as like what I think it is or what people are saying it is, but no, it really is. But that's okay. And you know, knowledge is power. And one of the one of the biggest things that helped me get through some of the physical effects of that memory that I had going back to that. Sorry, I'm kind of like a squirrel. I just go back and forth.
No worries at all.
Okay. So, Athena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I watched like this was like a year and a half ago or more that I was like just binge watching all her YouTube videos of Trauma Recovery University. And a lot of the things that she talked about, you know, I would watch like a video that was like 2 hours long and I couldn't relate to any of it, but I still wanted to watch it. And I'm so glad that I did that because one difficult thing that I experienced when I had that memory that I want to talk about, which is super vulnerable of me, is when I had that memory come back of that sexual abuse. It was obviously rape. It was obviously child abuse. It was obviously something that was painful for me, you know, like physically and every other kind of way. But I, for the first time in like 2 years, I was like completely aroused sexually. I mean, I'm driving down the road, you know, I just dropped my kids off at church and I'm driving home and I have this memory come back and I get completely aroused. And if I wouldn't have watched the video that she made about that, I would have been freaked out. I was still freaked out, but it helped me. So I guess what I'm saying, like, even if, you know, if you're a survivor, even if you can't relate to everything that you, you know, like that video the video that I watched was about that. It was about becoming aroused from abuse or memories of abuse. I am so glad that she made that video because it literally saved me right there. Because I wouldn't have known. I would have thought maybe I'm like a sicko or something, like who knows? But because I had that knowledge, it helps me get through that. So, you know, just any kind of knowledge that people share that even if you don't know if you can relate to it, you might someday. And that's true for me. Cause I didn't even know that I had been sexually abused when I started watching her videos. I just knew that I had major PTSD, you know, and I just, her story, her family situation, what she dealt with is so similar to what I do remember that I just connected with her immediately and just kept watching. But I'm so glad that I did because I mean, like the shame that I felt from that was just overwhelming. Like, and that is something, you know, people don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. People don't want to talk about, you know, feeling shame, you know, about, because you've been abused or just even any of that stuff. It's like kind of forbidden. Like people just don't go there. And I'm so glad that she went there because it helped me. And, you know, like it's not my fault what happened to me. And I know that it's not my fault. And I know that I had no choice in that at all. There was no options for me. I was a child, you know, what could I do? So listening to your podcast and watching her videos, you know, I just want you to know and her to know that really helped me. And I'm very thankful for everything that her and Bobby have done and everything you're doing. And someday when I get it together, I'll do something, but I don't know when that'll be.
You're already doing something.
Well, yeah, I'm doing what I can.
Well, and you know what? That's enough. Like what you're doing, just being able, I mean, you're doing so much for yourself right now with working with your psychologist and having the awareness and dealing with the memories and understanding what you said, which was so unbelievably huge of it's not your fault. You don't have to be ashamed about it. It's nothing you asked for. It's nothing you brought on. Like that kind of, when you can get to a point like that, like that's a monumental, amazing, huge breakthrough that can carry you for, because yeah. It takes such a long time just to get to that point.
Yeah. And it sucks. I mean, it's hard, you know, but it makes everything make sense. Like why?
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you know, I told my husband, I shared this with my husband, you know, I didn't share it right away when I had that experience. He knew I wasn't okay, you know, that night, but I just couldn't, I was so blown away by it. I had never in a million years would I have thought that kind of thing would have happened to me, you know, repeatedly, or that my mother would betray me like that. You know, like, how could a mother that's supposed to love and protect her child, you know, basically groom her from toddler up to be sexual, you know, to think that stuff is okay and probably profit from it. Like, that is like sick, you know? But now I know why I was so promiscuous when I was a teenager. Like, I had like a hypersexual problem, you know, when I was a teenager, and I didn't understand why I had it, but it was how I survived through everything that I went through during that time, because that was a trauma time for me with, you know, being a child of a drug addict, which is a whole nother type of trauma, and it's very difficult. But that was how I survived through that, and it was because it was all I knew. But I didn't even know that. So the shame that I felt from that and being, you know, my mother calling me a whore and a slut and all this stuff, like, she programmed me to be like that. And now I'm not like that because I chose to live my life how I want to live my life. And I did that before I knew any of this. So it's like, I used to never, you know, one of the therapists that I saw in the past, she was like, you know, you never give yourself any credit for anything. If you do anything good, then you just like downplay it.
Most survivors don't give themselves credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she would say, like, she said, you know, if you have a good time and somebody if you do something fun and somebody asks you, did you have fun? You always say, you start to say yes, but then you start to downplay that. Like, mm-hmm. Why do you do that? You know, like, and I was like, I don't know why I do that, but now I know why I do that, because that's how I survived. You know, like, it wasn't okay for me to have fun. It wasn't okay for me to be happy, because that, you know, would take away power from my narcissistic mom. Like, I know why I give those responses. I still give them. I still can't really say that I enjoyed something, but at least I know why. So I feel like in the future I will be able to say, hey, yeah, I had a great time. It was awesome. Like, that's a goal for me that I want to reach. But now you know, it's like all these pieces are coming together and I'm starting to actually have like some form of a narrative for my life, which before it was like a big dark blackness. I had no idea. You know, I would hear people share memories from their childhood and I'd be like, man, I didn't even remember. I don't know. So connecting with all of these different parts of myself has been awesome and really good for me. And I'm really thankful that I didn't, you know, back down. And there are some parts of me that are super intense and they are very not aggressive, but very assertive and very like, not like me, you know? So I'm looking forward to being able, like, I don't know if I'll, like, I don't know how I know how I feel about integration. And I want to share that because I think that's important, especially for like people who are listening who have DID. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are like really against it. And there are a lot of people, a lot of professionals who are like all about it. But my thought on it is that I can't even start to think about that until I have, you know, functional communication and functional healing. Like, I want all of my parts to be healed within themselves before I ever, like, that's like a final stage. Like, that's, you know, and I really think that helping professionals should not bring it up. They should let their clients bring it up if they want to, because it's a sensitive thing, you know? And for me, like, I want to honor my parts right now. I want to, love them and I want them to have everything that they didn't get to have. And I would never want to consider integrating until that happens, you know? And I really feel like it can be just an organic thing. Like it can, you know, just like the mind automatically, you know, fragments and compartmentalizes in childhood. I feel like our subconscious mind has awareness of where we're at because, you know, I'm a living example of that. I just, all of a sudden the floodgates just opened and everything fell apart, but it was because my brain knew that it was like, we're either going to deal with this stuff now or have brain damage. So let's deal with it, you know? And that's actually what my psychologist said. He was like, if this stuff doesn't get resolved or it doesn't get processed, it can cause like brain damage. Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't want that. So, and my brain was like, okay, we got to deal with this now. And I think the integration can be the same. I think it can, you know, like the more that you have healing and that all your parts get their needs met and they become safe and they know that they're safe and they know that they're a part of a system and they know that they're in the present time. You know, that's a big thing that I'm working on right now. Because a lot of times, actually every day, I switch into a state where I don't know that I'm safe. That is a big issue that I'm trying to overcome right now, is like telling myself that I'm safe. You know, and I've had a bad thing happen, unfortunately, with my husband. And I think it's called transference or countertransference or something. Mm-hmm. I've been seeing my husband as my abuser, like, and reacting to him as though he is abusive or going to hurt me, or, you know, or if he just walks in the room, I just feel absolute terror. So that's been so hard on my husband, you know, cause he loves me. He doesn't want me to be afraid of him. He's doing everything he can. He's killing himself trying to help me. You know, I mean, he's just taking on all the responsibility of our family and me and trying to run a business that we both own, which I'm no longer able to participate in. You know, he's holding it all up right now. If I wouldn't have learned about that, actually, I think I might have learned about that and then forgot a couple times. But this time, because I'm where I'm at, I'm not forgetting about that. So it's really opened up the door for my husband and I to have more affection and not me being afraid. So yeah, it can be really difficult when you're married. Being married and dealing with this is so, I mean, it is like, we already have like a million odds against us statistically. I'm autistic and he's not. So that's like a, you know, only 50% chance of survival in your marriage. We're a blended family. He's a stepfather. You know, that's another. And then the PTSD and the DID on top of it, it's like we're fighting against everything, but we're still together. And he's hanging in there with me. And I just wish that there was more support for him, you know, and for spouses, because I can't even put into words sometimes anything, you know, if I'm in like a really traumatized child's like state, sometimes I can't even speak. So having resources for spouses, I think, is really important, because, like, you know, this is not something that everybody knows about. It's not some, I mean, now thanks to the Split movie, I guess people are talking about it a little more, but I don't know that that's a good thing.
Not necessarily in a good way.
No, yeah. I have not seen that movie, and I know that I would not be able to handle seeing it because I don't have control and, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's definitely something that people need help with, and it's not something you can just go talk to your friends about. A lot of husbands, I'm sure, you know, men are different. They can't just be like, I need help. They have, you know, they need to be like
preaching to the choir right here. it's like, we can't just say I need help, right? We have to rationalize why we can do it on our own, but then we didn't, and why we can. And yeah, I get it. The whole man card thing. We got to be tough. We got to figure it out. Yeah, I get it. I know.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it's not something that you could, that people could just talk about. And I hope that can change, you know, because like, I'm actually thinking about trying to start a support group where I live, because I know there isn't one. Mm-hmm. And whatever town, whoever's listening to this, unless you live in a super huge city, there probably isn't one in your town. So if you're married to somebody, or if you are somebody that has DID, you know, just start something. You'll find out that there are probably more people that are close to you that you could connect with than you realize. And nobody will ever know or come forward until somebody starts something. But I can guarantee you this is definitely more prevalent than what the statistics say. And, you know, and especially because men, you know, they don't seek out mental health services willingly most of the time.
Things
have to be really bad, you know.
For guys, a lot of times we have to get to a crisis situation before we'll ever go ask for help.
Yeah, so who knows how many men out there have this condition that aren't talking about it and aren't even seeking help for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a part of myself that is I guess would be considered male. So I understand guys a lot more than most people, which is actually kind of cool. And when I was, you know, I have a male psychologist and I had all male friends when I was a teen. And I understand why now, because that, you know, that part of myself was kind of in charge. And also I didn't feel threatened. Because the betrayal that I suffered from, even though I didn't realize it, was from a woman and women. The sexual abuse was from men, but, you know, the people that were close to me that I was supposed to trust that betrayed me were all female. And so that's, you know, a big part of why I like to have guy friends. And that's not, you know, the status quo. And there are a lot of things that, you know, I like to do or that I want to do, like, you know, find a group of nerdy people that want to play Magic the Gathering or whatever, you know, and like, yeah, I'm 33. I'm not like 23, but that doesn't really matter, you know, and it shouldn't matter. Mm-mm. And even if you just have been through a lot of stuff and you don't have like a major stuff like DID, you should still be able to go do things that you want to do and love yourself that way. I'm learning that. I'm like majorly learning that it's okay. You know, we're all weird in our own way and mm-hmm. we should be able to enjoy our lives and do the things we want to do, especially if they're with other people. Cause there's a, you know, internet's great and everything, but it doesn't substitute for human connection. And, that's another one of my goals, is to start getting back out there when I'm ready. But I don't think that's right now.
That is okay. You are doing everything that you need to be doing right now at your own pace. You are, you know, you've come to terms with where you are, and that's awesome. You're not rushing it. Yes. I mean, I think that's a message we can leave with everybody today, is just the amazing stuff that you've shared is going to help so many people, because, you know, I cover this topic quite a bit on this podcast and through bloggers and whatnot. And so many people relate to stories just like yours, where they are right in the middle of the healing and they don't quite understand everything, but they're gaining awareness. They're actually embracing the experience rather than fighting it. And I mean, like, you know, and which is where you're at, which is amazing, because that's when you get so much more out of healing. And like, I mean, regardless of what the trauma is, regardless of whether you have DID or not, when you embrace the process, you get so much more out of it because you're open to what you're learning, right?
Yeah. And it is hard and it can be scary at times, but it's worth it. Like, I want to get better, you know, I want to be able to live my life and not let it just get wasted by being afraid to face things, you know, like, I've already survived like horrible stuff. So that's the thing I keep telling myself. I'm like, I have made it through stuff that I don't even know, but I still did it. So I know I can keep doing this. You know, and it is, it's worth it. It's worth it. So yeah, I want people to know that, you know, you don't have to have it all together. And I certainly don't. And you don't have to push yourself to do things that you're not ready for, because that can actually set you back. Mm-hmm. Like if you have these high expectations of yourself and what you should be able to do, but your limits are not allowing you to do those things, then just don't, you know, just wait and give it time, because it, you know, this is intense stuff. Like healing from trauma is intense. and just giving yourself a break and letting yourself process and heal and, you know, love yourself and respect yourself. That's huge. And it'll make a huge difference when you do, you know, hit those next goals or when you do get to that next step. So, yeah.
Awesome. Kelly, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. I appreciate everything you shared. It's going to help so many people. If anybody wants to connect with you, is there a place online that they can reach you at?
I don't know if a million people know about Quora or if some people do, but it's like a social, like it's like a social platform, but it's based on questions. Mm-hmm. and people answering those questions. I love questions and I love finding the answers to them. So I've been kind of hooked on that for a while, but I did change my, my handle on Quora because I wanted to be kind of anonymous so that I could talk more in depth about DID. And, my name on there is Rana Fournier. That's one of my alters, and she's French and smart and knows more about my whole system than most of my other parts. So I decided to actually, she decided to, you know, to have that platform, but I can also, you know, people can message me on there and, or ask me questions. My email address is kellygettle@gmail.com, and it's all lowercase. Anybody can email me. I don't check it super often, but I do check it. So yeah, I'll get back to anybody who wants to send me an email. So yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Kelly, this has been amazing. Thanks again for coming on the show. You always have an open invitation to come back here and hang out and chat and give us updates. So please come back anytime.
Thanks. It was good to be here, Matt.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Information shared on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should supersede the direction of a medical doctor or any mental health professional. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and leave us a review. We would sure appreciate it. Also, please consider sharing this episode with someone who may find it helpful. If you would like more information on working with Matt as your coach, just head over to beyondyourpast.com and schedule your free one-hour chat. If you'd like to learn more about working with Joanne as your coach, please check out joannesuppressi.com and contact her for more information. We're always on the lookout for new guests. If you're interested in joining us on an upcoming episode, just head over to beyondyourpastradio.com and contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Talk to you soon.